All right, welcome in, everyone. It is time for another deep dive. And you guys know the drill by now. You send us the sources, we do the reading, the thinking, the extracting. And yeah, we bring back all those kind of golden nuggets of information for you.
Right, we take everything you've sent. And well, it's like we said, it's a deep dive. We go deep so you don't have to, but you still get all the good stuff. And for this one, we're looking at, well, it's a bit of a creepy one this time.
And this one is definitely a little unnerving. The case of Mario Rossi in 1980s Naples.
Yeah.
And just from looking at what you guys sent, I mean, it's a story about a seemingly, you know, average, everyday plumber.
Right, like the guy next door type.
Exactly. But there are these hints that maybe he had a much darker side.
Mm. You know,
like a hidden, sinister.
A hidden life, yeah.
Yeah. And we've got a pretty interesting mix of stuff to work with this time. We've got like a firsthand account of the whole story, some thoughts on like the deeper human questions it raises.
Right, the kind of psychology of it all.
Exactly. And even some notes about how we should, you know, how we should approach this whole thing. So
not a commentary. Always fun.
Yeah, always fun. But yeah, so I guess our goal here is to, well, I mean, it's not just to tell a spooky story. It's to really dig into what this whole thing might mean, what it says about us, about the world, and, you know, and hopefully keep you guys on the edge of your seats along the way.
Yeah, no predictable podcast tropes here. We're going for thought-provoking and engaging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, so Mario Rossi, he was known as Super Mario, right? You know, like, picture this. Naples, 1980s, this guy's always got a smile, a neatly trimmed mustache, always wearing red overalls, fixing leaky faucets and pipes. Like, it's almost too perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's exactly what makes it so interesting, because you've got this, like, almost cartoonish image of him as Super Mario, this, like, friendly neighborhood plumber. But then you have these accusations, these rumors that paint a very different picture.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things this whole case makes you think about, how appearances can be so deceiving.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's that whole thing about, you know, what lurks beneath the surface. Like, how well can you ever really know someone? And this story really plays with that idea.
It does. So let's start with his younger brother, Luigi. He was, according to what we've read, pretty much the opposite of Mario. Quiet, kept to himself, worked with Mario, though, which I guess makes them an interesting duo. Until, of course, Luigi just disappears.
Vanishes, yeah.
Gone. And Mario's explanation, he said Luigi went abroad.
Seems simple enough at the time, right?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been true. But then you have these rumors. People were saying they heard screams coming from the sewers around the time Luigi vanished.
Okay, yeah. That definitely adds a whole other layer to things. Sewers, screams.
Yeah.
It's not exactly painting a pretty picture.
Nope. It's like right away you get this feeling of something dark and hidden going on. And that's before we even get into what people were saying about these supposed games down in the sewers.
Yeah, those games. I mean, what does that even mean? Given the context, it's hard not to imagine something pretty grim. Maybe Mario was forcing people into these situations, making them fight for their lives in the darkness down there. It's unsettling, to say the least.
Totally. And it gets even more disturbing when you realize it wasn't just Luigi who disappeared. I mean, after him, there was this whole string of people who went missing.
Like a pattern started to emerge.
Exactly. You had clients who complained about Mario's work, then landlords who refused to pay him, and then tenants, people described as, you know, kind of vulnerable living alone, and they all end up gone.
And the common thread, they all had some kind of run-in with Super Mario before they disappeared.
It's like you can't help but wonder if he was targeting specific people. Maybe those who he felt had wronged him in some way, or those he saw as, I don't know, easy targets.
Right, like he had this twisted sense of justice, or maybe he was just taking advantage of people he thought he could get away with hurting. And this is where that whole sewer thing becomes even more creepy. It's like this hidden world where he could do whatever he wanted and no one would know.
It's like something out of a horror movie. But here's the thing. There was no hard proof, no evidence, no bodies, nothing directly tying Mario to these disappearances.
And yet the rumors persisted.
Oh, yeah. Especially in the poorer parts of Naples, people were whispering about Mario luring his victims into the sewers, forcing them into these deadly games where the only way out was to survive.
Yeah.
You can practically feel the tension, the fear in those communities. It's like this invisible threat hanging over everyone.
Yeah, and that's where things get really interesting, I think, because it makes you think about the power of stories, of rumors, especially when there's no clear information. Fear can really take hold in a situation like that.
For sure. And then in 1993, Mario's building catches fire. A huge fire.
Mm.
And the narrative really pushes this idea that it was an act of revenge. Like someone finally decided to take matters into their own hands.
Makes sense. If the authorities weren't doing anything and people were convinced Mario is behind these disappearances, someone might have felt like they had to act.
And then, amidst all the chaos of the fire, Mario Rossi disappears. Just gone. Never seen again. It's like the story just ends.
Poof. Vanished. It's almost too perfect, you know? Like, did he die in the fire? Did he escape? Did he orchestrate the whole thing? We'll never know for sure.
Which, of course, just adds to the mystery. And it doesn't really end there, does it? Mm. Because even today, there are these local legends about Mario Rossi. People say you can hear his footsteps in the Naples sewers. Mm. Some even claim to hear a faint humming sound, like the sound of someone whistling.
It's like he's become this urban legend, a ghost story that just won't die. And that says a lot about the power of this story, right? Even without knowing the truth, people hold on to these ideas, these fears.
It's fascinating and a little bit creepy, to be honest. So we've got this whole narrative, but one of the sources you guys sent actually pointed out that even if this whole Mario Rossi story isn't real, it still brings up some really important questions.
Absolutely. And that's where things get even more interesting, I think. Because it makes you think about human nature, about the darkness that can hide beneath the surface of even the most ordinary people.
Yeah. Like, how can someone who seems so normal, so friendly, potentially be capable of such terrible things? What does that say about our ability to judge character, to really know the people around us?
Right. And what about the role of fear and suspicion in shaping our perceptions of others? I mean, is it possible that Mario was just a convenient scapegoat, that the rumors spun out of control, and he was never really the monster people thought he was?
That's an interesting thought. So let's put on our detective hats for a minute, like that one source suggested. Let's try to come up with some theories, some possible explanations for all of this. So was Mario really a killer? What could have been his motive?
Well, if we look at the pattern of disappearances, there's that common thread of people who crossed him, who maybe did something to anger him or who he saw as vulnerable. Maybe he had this distorted sense of justice, or maybe he just enjoyed exploiting people. It's dark, but it's a possibility.
It's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said earlier, what if it was all just a case of mistaken identity? What if those disappearances were unrelated and people just latched onto Mario because he was an easy target? Because the rumors were already swirling.
Yeah, that's definitely another possibility. I mean, think about how quickly rumors can spread, especially in a close-knit community. And once a narrative takes hold, it can be really hard to shake, even if there's no real evidence to support it.
Right. It's like maybe the truth got lost somewhere along the way, and all that's left are these stories, these legends. Speaking of stories, we did get some feedback about how we should be approaching this whole discussion. Apparently, the Instagram account for the show is known for its, well, it's kind of dark humor, even when dealing with unsettling topics like this.
Yeah, I saw that too. They're all about keeping things light and fun, even when the subject matter is, well, not so light.
Exactly. And the advice was to really lean into the suspense, the mystery of the story. To make it feel like we're all kind of unraveling this puzzle together.
Like we're all detectives huddled around a table trying to piece together the clues.
Exactly. And one of the suggestions was to, you know, really engage with you guys, the listeners, to ask you questions, to get you thinking about what you would do in these situations. Like, imagine yourself living in Naples back then, hearing these rumors about Super Mario. What would you think? What would you do?
That's a great way to make this whole thing more immersive, more real, and it makes you realize how easily you could get caught up in the fear and suspicion, even if you didn't have all the facts.
Right. And one last bit of advice from the notes.
Mm-hmm.
We were told to avoid those little filler words and sounds, you know, the constant yas and ahas and stuff, and to let the conversation breathe a little, to let the silences hang for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, we want to keep things natural, conversational. We're not reading from a script here. We're just two people having a conversation trying to make sense of this crazy story.
Exactly. So to sum it all up, we've got this really unsettling tale of Mario Rossi, the Super Mario of Naples, who may or may not have been a serial killer preying on his community. We've got missing people, whispers in the dark, a mysterious fire, and a legacy of fear that lingers even today.
And we've got a whole lot of unanswered questions. Was Mario truly a monster? Or was he just a victim of circumstance, of a community's collective fear? We may never know for sure, but one thing's for certain. This story makes you think. It makes you question what you see, what you believe, and how easily perception can be manipulated.
And it makes you wonder what other seemingly normal people might be hiding dark secrets beneath their friendly smiles and red overalls. It's a chilling thought. And one that I think we'll all be pondering for a while.
Until next time.
Until next, yeah.